It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby!
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Hour number two of the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vince Sapienza filling in for JT as he is en route to Ken, getting ready to celebrate and enjoy the festivities that is the enshrinement of Eric Allen. Very excited for EA, but we go straight back to the question at large. Who are you most excited to see compete? Week one, preseason game one in Seattle, a week from tonight, 702-365-9200. Levi Edwards, Raiders digital reporter, set to join us in about 3 to 4 minutes' time. Back out to the text line. As we heard last hour, Jack Besh is a name. And just to finish the thought, you know, Jack Besh is an interesting name because he plays the same position as Jacoby Myers. So Jack Besh has exclusively been running with the twos during training camp, yet he is one of the guys Pete Carroll singled out as having a hell of a start to the padded practice portion of training camp. He's shown off the physicality, battling through hands, making tough contested catches, not just along the sidelines, but over the middle as well, in the hearts of the defense. So he's a guy that I am very intrigued this preseason to see, obviously, how he shines under the bright lights. But I guess he's a player I'm most excited to see when the regular season rolls around, because obviously, again, he's a big dude and he's a physical guy. He's not shy to block downfield in the run game and things of that nature. I'm more curious how he's going to be added and infused in the offense with Jacoby Myers, who, you know, is right now wide receiver one on this team. Brock Bowers is option one on the offense. I don't think there's any question about that. But in terms of wide receiver one, it's definitely Jacoby Myers, and Trey Tucker is there as well, and Dante Thornton is running with the ones. We're going to hear from Dante Thornton in my one-on-one interview with him in about 30 minutes' time or so. But Jack Besh is a guy I'm more excited to see when the regular season rolls around, how he gets infused. Let's see. Ty says, I'm probably most excited about, the aforementioned Dante Thornton. I know that every tall guy that can run fast isn't Randy Moss, but I can't help but to think we could have something special in him. Can't wait to see him. You know, Aiden O'Connell met with media earlier today, and he was talking about he had a group chat going on with the fellow quarterbacks, and Dante Thornton was a name that continues to be talked about in that group chat as the guy that can be relied on and trusted. And you know, the physical attributes are great. Height, speed, strength, quickness, jump ability. But there's one attribute that stands above all for a quarterback, and that's trust. And if that's a word that's already being thrown around, reliable was the word Aiden O'Connell used, that is a very, very good start for Dante Thornton Jr., another guy who Pete Carroll singled out as well. Joining us now, here on the JT the Brick Show, is Raiders digital reporter, a man who has been at camp every day, looking swoller than the next, Levi Edwards. Afternoon, Levi. How are we?
I'm doing good, man. I won't be swole after too much longer because I had a nice little half dozen of those cinnamon donuts that they had outside for the fans with a caramelized coffee. So we had a nice, solid breakfast of champions averaging about 1,200 calories already, so... Yeah,
I love to hear it.
Your muscle stays.
Yeah, you're more like us now. I like hearing that when you're more like us. Thanks, Levi. Thanks for making us feel a little bit better today. Look, I said it to Kevin Bollinger as well. You know, I know offensive linemen don't necessarily like the shine, the spotlight, like to be talked about, because typically if they're being talked about, it's not for good reasons. But you know, Colton Miller has his moment to shine with this contract extension, and I want to get your thoughts on the extension, the money, and everything that goes with it. But within 12, 15 hours, we're all of a sudden staring at the offensive line, but not a left tackle, not a Colton Miller. We're looking at the interior of the offensive line that continues to be the talk of training camp, the battle between JPJ and Jordan Meredith, and as we saw for the first time, together, side by side on the offensive line. Before we get to Colton, talk to me about what you saw today, and what do you think it means?
I think it's very interesting, and it at first seemed like it was a battle between Jordan Meredith and JPJ at the center position. But now I would even go as far as to say that this is a three-way battle now between three guys, because you also have to factor in Alex Kappa because of what happened today and what we saw today. And that was the fact that we had Jackson Powers Johnson move back over to right guard with first team reps, and you had Jordan Meredith exclusively playing at center today. What does that mean? Well, the whole training camp up to this point, we've seen Jordan Meredith and we've seen JPJ slipping, you know, splitting reps at first team. Both of them kind of getting in that rotation with Kappa being at right guard. But now you see Jackson Powers Johnson getting moved over to right guard, and he's getting some reps in there, not to mention Thayer Munford Jr. also getting reps at right guard. So now we're at the point where it's just not two men competing for one spot. It's now four or five guys now competing for two spots. So the competition is a lot bigger than what people just first thought when they say, oh, Jordan Meredith is taking first team reps. The whole state of the interior offensive line is now up for competition between those two guard spots in that center. So it's going to be very intriguing to make sure that we stay on top of that and see how that's going to shake out.
You know, Levi, Pete uses the word competition. I think a lot of fans, and I'm not trying to pigeonhole fans, but a lot of fans saying, you know, this guy lost the job. Because I think when everybody talks about Jackson Powers Johnson, we didn't give two thoughts to him not being the center, right, come week one leading into training camp. And so now I think people are asking, well, what's he not doing? But for me, as somebody who's been there just as you have, and I want to get your perspective on it, it feels like it's more what Jordan Meredith is doing as opposed to what JPJ is not. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's an extremely fair assessment, because obviously watching offensive line play isn't the sexiest thing in the world. It's not what the casual fan is going to be doing. But if you watch Jordan Meredith's tape from last year and you see what he was able to do when he had to step in and be guard when a lot of people went down, like Andre James and Jackson Powers Johnson was out for a few weeks and a lot of things were kind of moving around, Jordan Meredith had a great season. He had one of the better seasons up to this point in his career. He was very good within the pass blocking scheme. He really was able to hold his quarterbacks upright for the most part and do his job. I really thought he had a great season. And I think a lot of people just assumed when Alex Kappa was signed to the team that he would automatically lose his job. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really good camp for Jordan Meredith. He's come out and he's not relinquishing anything that he won last year. All the reps that he took last year and everything that he put on film has been showcasing so far. And even Pete said, hey, you know, this was a guy that I didn't really know much about when I came in. And then we had to look back at his tape. We had to see what he did last year. And we really like him a lot because he balled out. And so it would be against us if we did not give him a shot to continue to be a starting focal point of this offensive line. So really it has everything to do with what Jordan Meredith has done, and people don't really want to talk about it, and people haven't really noticed it as much just because of the position he does play. But he's done a fantastic job even dating back to last year, and all he's doing is trying to build upon the momentum that he's already gained.
How much run do you think this current iteration of the starting offense do you think we'll see in Seattle?
That's a great question. I'm not necessarily sure how much of it we will see, just because obviously they want to, you know, get those younger guys out there and make sure everybody stays healthy. So we're going to see a lot of those young guys. I would say we're going to see maybe a few snaps here and there of just a couple of different variations. I would say for fans, obviously everybody's focused on the preseason game in Seattle and how that's going to be. But I would tell fans, be more focused on what happens in this mock game this Saturday at Allegiant Stadium open to public. Tune into that to see what the first team and the second team looks like. If you can, go to Raiders.com. I'll be writing about it, so make sure you check that out. And also, be tuned when the 49ers come to town and you have those joint practices against the 49ers. When you have another team you have to compete against, another team that's going to be competitive, and that's going to be pretty good preseason snaps, if anything, even out of practice. So what they decide to do in those practices against them as well, I think are going to be a really good, you know, indicating factor as to where this will go.
Tickets still on sale for that Raiders mock game at Allegiant Stadium Saturday, August 2nd at 1 o'clock. $5 a ticket. All proceeds go to the Raiders Foundation. You won't find a cheaper ticket to get into that beautiful, magnificent stadium. So I would make the most of that. Talking to Levi Edwards, Raiders digital reporter for Raiders.com. All right, I started with at the top, and I almost feel bad burying that lead, but, you know, the happenings at training camp are what they are. Colton Miller gets the new contract, and if there was a situation, at least on the offensive side of the ball, that was, I would say, a little bit murky, right? A little bit cloudy this offseason. We didn't know how the new staff, the new regime felt about a Colton Miller. Giving him a new contract, big money. Obviously, they do it with a three-year extension worth $66 million. I feel like that speaks volumes to not only the player, but the rest of the roster as well. What did you think of the money and the message that it sends the team?
Well, obviously it's a great deal. He's, 29, and he, by the time he's done with his deal, he'll be into his 30s, and not necessarily saying that there will be a decline, but I think at this stage of his career, it's a great time to sign that extension as he looks forward to, the longevity of his NFL career, not just even, with Las Vegas, but just being in this league in general. So I think it's great for him to be able to lock it up at a time like this. But more importantly, the message it sends, right, Vince? He's the longest tenured player on this team. 8 years, first round pick in 2018. He's the long, and Daniel Carlson came in right after him midway through the season. So Colton is the longest standing player on this team, one of the last four Oakland Raiders that are left on this roster. And so you have a new regime who's coming in. They're taking care of all of their veteran guys, all of the centerpiece players on this roster that's been through the good and the bad and the ugly. Colton's been through it. AJ's been through it. Max has been through it. And they've all been Pro Bowl quality caliber players. And so Colton is the last one of those guys that you look at who's a leader of this team. He's been through it all. And it shows guys like, hey, if you put in the work and you see the process through and you're a leader and you can make people better around you, we'll take care of you. We don't care if you came here before us. We don't care if you're one of our guys or not, if you're a guy that we have developed or not. We don't care about any of that. Can you ball, and do you have a positive influence on the team? And Pete Carroll showed that. John Spytek showed that by making that decision to extend Colton Miller. So I think it sends a great message to everybody else who wants to be in the same position in the next 8 years or so.
Maybe the quietest 109 games played in franchise history. A lunch pail guy, but a guy that embodies the silver and black.
You want your offensive lineman to have a quiet 109 games. You don't want it to be allowed 109 games. That means you weren't doing something right, and somebody's questioning why you played that long at that position. When it's a quiet 109 as a tackle, that means you're doing something right.
Levi Edwards here, Raiders.com. Okay, I want to get to the secondary. Another camp battle that continues to pop. Ja'Corian Bennett met with the media today as well, and he took the professional approach, right? He said, I'm ready to persevere. I think I'm putting out good tape out there. What are we seeing? Are we missing something? Again, it's one of those things that, Pete Carroll has a tried and true recipe when it comes to secondary and cornerbacks in this league. So it's not necessarily questioning him. It's more of just trying to figure out where the fit is or lack thereof, specifically to Ja'Corian Bennett.
I think Ja'Corian fits half of the bill when it comes to what Pete Carroll is looking for, which is physicality. I think Ja'Corian is a very physical guy. But the fact of the matter is we've seen the Legion of Boom, and we've seen USC dominate college football. We've seen what Pete Carroll likes to do with his defenses. He likes to have big, physical, long guys in there who are athletic. And I think Ja'Corian fits the bill. He's as athletic as they come. He's physical. He can press. I think he's really good with that. He's just not as long as, say, a Jeremy Chinn, if you're putting him at nickel, or he's not as long as a DeCamrion Richardson, who's 6'2", 215, you just drafted last year. He's not one of those guys when it comes to physical attributes. So all he really can do is just continue to work, put his head down and show him like, hey, I'm better than these other cornerbacks you have, because he's a guy who was leading the team in pass deflections when he was healthy before he had to miss the rest of the season. He's a guy that allowed under 53% completion percentage to quarterbacks last year. So he's a guy that can play, and we know he can. And I really do believe that he's still emerging. So Obviously, he's behind the eight ball, considering what Pete Carroll and Patrick Graham are looking for in terms of how versatile they want this defense to be. But at the end of the day, he has every much of a chance as anyone else who's making their name known throughout this camp. JT Witt is the guy that just got off the street, and he's been balling out so far. Jamal Adams obviously has the career that he has, but he's earning a spot. Jermaine Pratt, all those guys, you know, those are guys that were starters in other places or have had success, and now they're kind of trying to work their way up into getting reps just like Ja'Korian. So Ja'Korian is no different than anybody else trying to find their way on this roster. So he's going to have to earn it. Everyone's going to have to, but I have confidence in Ja'Korian. I love the way he handles himself. Obviously, I'm biased. He's an Alabama guy. I'm an Alabama guy. He's 305. I'm 205. So you know how that goes. Mobile guy. So I really like JB and the way he carries himself. And I think that, you know, he'll, whatever happens, he will earn whatever role he gets.
Levi, I want to pivot for just a quick minute and talk about Devin White and Michael Mayer. Those are two guys that have had really good summers by the sounds of it, talking to the coaching staff and them as well. But they're two guys that are similar in the fact that they, you know, Devin White was very transparent the other day, right, about what he was going through a couple years ago when he was dealing with injuries, his father, that whole relationship, them passing, and how difficult that was on him, right? You know, fast forward to last season, Michael Mayer, you know, takes a leave of absence, comes back. He says he's in the best shape, you know, feels as good of a place as it is. You know, you're in the building more than anybody, obviously, but it's one of those reminders, right, that the trust of the coaching staff and the relationships that are being built between these coaching staffs and these players are absolutely crucial, because you never know what these players are going through. You sit there and say, well, Devin White's coming off a couple down years. Well, what's the why, right? And everybody just goes, oh, he's getting older. But, you know, then you hear what Devin White was going through. You sit there and you say, well, oh, maybe his talent isn't gone. And then Pete Carroll saying he's been the star of training camp. You know what I mean? Things like that. So I'm curious, as you're a storyteller, just as I am myself, you know, I feel like those are nice reminders to not just us, but the fans as well, that these aren't just robots in helmets and pads.
Yeah, I love how we're now in an age within professional sports where the mental health has to link up just as well with the physical health. And I think there's just so many times throughout life where, you know, people are going through things off the field, and, you know, this is such a masculine sport. It's such a masculine world that we're in, where you're always told, you know, suck it up, power through. Sometimes it's hard to just suck it up and power through when you have stuff going on, and it affects the way that you play, and it affects your physical health, and it affects the, you know, your ability to want to actually be out there on that field. And obviously, I think now Devin White has gone through a couple of changes of scenery from Tampa, from that situation. And so now he gets to come into a new situation where he's trying to prove himself. But it's the best situation in regards to having that familiarity, not only just with a general manager who had faith in you and drafted you in Tampa Bay, but also having family. You have DeCamden Richardson, who's your cousin on this team, and mm-hmm. you get to be with him every day and talk to him and have that calming force. So really for Devin White, it's funny because even before he came to the Raiders, you see all this stuff online and all this stuff, you know, from, you know, Eagles fans and people where it's just like, oh, okay, well, Devin White's cooked, he's washed. Devin White is a young guy. He's a year younger than me. So if Devin White's cooked, then just throw me in the garbage, apparently, because he's a guy who's still in really good shape, and he's dealt with what he needs to deal with, and he's in a really good situation now where he can be a starter for this team and really be the guy that I saw at LSU, be the guy that I saw win the Super Bowl in 2020, where he had, I think, like 3-4 picks. I don't even know how many in that run, where he was like, him and Lavonte David were the best defensive players on that Bucs team. So that still could be his potential. And he's still so young as well, to where this could be a really good situation for him to really turn the narrative back to what it already was.
Just a couple more here with Levi Edwards, Raiders.com digital reporter. Michael Mayer did have a good day today, outside from being great on the podium. He did have a good day at training camp today. A couple red zone touchdowns and some 7-on-7. But the one constant, at least for me, and I'll get your two cents, is Geno Smith. He just continues to produce. He continues to execute, and it continues to look so aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Just the ball coming out of his hands, that spiral, the movement within the pocket, the scramble ability that is there. And maybe it's just recency bias, Levi, and maybe you can tell me one way or another, but comparing it to last year, it's just a wildly different offense and balance of power between the offense and defense at training camp. How do you see it?
Well, if you ask me about the quarterback competition from last year, I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay, on how that fair went. Enough. Fair
but
enough.
What I will say is that compared to a lot of training camps that I've seen since I've been here covering this team, now going into my sixth season, Geno Smith has been one of the more aesthetically pleasing quarterbacks just from the standpoint of throwing the ball that I've seen since I've been here. Just his ball placement is just on point. His touch is on point. Just his ability to be able to put the ball right in the receiver's hands where only he can get it. I've seen so many, and we've posted a couple of the clips on Raiders social media, but there's so many balls where I've seen him just put it right on the money, like over a back shoulder where the defender's playing amazing coverage. Like these guys out here, they're just not out here getting burned. Like Darian Porter's playing some really good coverage, and DeCamrion and Stokes. Like there's times where they're in perfect position. They did everything right on the play, and they're still getting beat because Geno Smith is putting it right in the hands of the receivers where the cornerback just can't get it. And if the cornerback does try to get it, and it's going to be a PI. That's just how it is. So, like, just seeing that is just so impressive. And obviously we've seen it in Seattle and when he resurrected his career, and he still has the same confidence, if not more confidence now, being in a new spot with a coach that he's really familiar with, Chip Kelly, making the offense that's kind of like catered to him and his game of how he plays, because he can play so many different styles of football. So I really do like what I've seen from Geno. And with that, obviously, you have a couple of occasional turnovers because he has a lot of trust in his arm. So he puts himself in some predicaments where, okay, well, maybe you shouldn't have thrown it here at this point. Or, oh, maybe, you could have went somewhere else with the ball, things like that. So he has a couple of those moments here and there. But that's just because he has so much trust in his arm where he feels like he can make every throw. And there's a lot of guys in the league now that you see are kind of the same way, like Tua, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes, where they have so much trust in their arm where, yeah, sometimes they're going to have the occasional mess up here and there. But for the majority of the time, with that trust and your ability to find the receiver, you're going to be able to make some throws that not a lot of guys in this league can make. So I know I went on and on, but it really is impressive. It's like, I'm telling you, man, so impressive, and everyone can see that practice.
Levi, we'll end on this one. I know you said you're going to take more stock in what happens in the mock game, the joint practices, but when you look at next week in Seattle, who's the one guy that you're most excited to see compete against a different jersey?
Man, that's one hell of a question. I'm going to be honest with you. Dante Thornton Jr. He's a guy that obviously he's running with the first team right now, so I'm not necessarily sure how many reps they're going to give him in a preseason game. But considering he is a rookie and he's still in the process of learning the learning the offense, I would assume that he's going to play a good bit, at least in the first half. So obviously he's been taking the top off the defense, really getting after it on those deep routes, on them deep corners and them go routes. So that's what he can do. I mean, he's 6'5", runs a 4.3. So that's his thing. But I want to see how more versatile he can be in the passing game of just those intermediate things and how it can open up things for the rest of the defense. Obviously, it's a preseason game, so the things that they're going to have him do are going to be a little bit more basic. It's not going to be the most complex schemes and complex routes he's going to be running, but I'm excited to see a little bit more of his game other than the, hey, I'm bigger than you, I'm faster than you, let me run past you and get this ball. I want to see a little bit more of what he can do as a receiver.
I did not know that was the name going to come out of your mouth, but that is a perfect segue because coming up I have my one-on-one interview with Dante Thornton Jr. here on the JT the Brick Show. Levi, we appreciate you. Go check out Levi Edwards on the X and at Raiders.com for his daily camp notebook on all the news, notes, and happenings for the Silver and Black. Levi, I appreciate you jumping on. Let's do it again soon.
Of course. Thank you so much, man.
All right, Levi Edwards, 702-365-9200. Who are you most excited to see this time next week when the Raiders suit up for their first preseason game in Seattle. 702-365-9200. It's the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vince Sapienza, Raider Nation Radio 920.
Immensely, as much as I possibly could. Like I said it before, that you don't realize how good it is until it's taken away from you. So it's nice to be out there.
That's Raiders Malcolm Kuntz talking about how good it feels to be healthy. And I got to say, he is looking good. Now, Pete Carroll has talked about that he is still ramping up, and there's been times where they're, you know, keeping him on the sidelines for reps here and there just to make sure, you know, he's not pushing himself too much, specifically when they went on the indoors and in the turf, you know, just being a little cautious with Malcolm Kuntz. But they're expecting big things from him. They're expecting him to be a real piece of this defense that gets after the quarterback. You know, a lot has been made in recent days about Jamal Adams, his ability to get after the quarterback. A lot has been made about the defensive tackles, who's going to replace the production that was supposed to be there with the potential of Christian Wilkins. But, you know, Malcolm Kuntz is just quietly going about his business. He looks good. Again, I'm not in the training room with him. I'm not in the huddle with him. But just from my vantage point of where he looks in comparison to the other edge rushers, he looks as good as any. And I think that's a good sign for Raider Nation. Ravi up on the X says, I'm most excited to see Chip Kelly's offense and Patrick Graham, Pete Carroll's defense on the field against other teams. Answering the question of the day, 702-365-9200, what are you most excited about? Who are you most excited about seeing compete when the Raiders take the field in Seattle a week from tonight? Jason says, Vince, sound good. Well, thanks, Jace. I appreciate that. Colton, getting signed was key. Geno was only second to Caleb Williams. Geno, we solidify the O-line. Geno has a quick release. We will be all right. I want to see Geno bring us back to glory. So Jason wants to see Geno in Seattle. I think a lot of people want to see Geno. You got to see. I can't imagine we don't see him out on the field, at least for a series. Let him hand the ball off a couple times. Let Ashton do his thing. Let Geno feel good about himself. Especially with again, we go back to the offensive line, that iteration. If it is going to be Jordan Meredith, you want to see that, you know, against a different jersey. If Jackson Powers Johnson is going to be that right guard, you want to see what that chemistry looks like, that communication that Pete Carroll talks about, praising a Jordan Meredith. You definitely want to see that. Let's see. Jim in the 215 says he wants to see Devin White. Wanted Devin White when it was time to draft him. The Raiders obviously did not, but you got him now. And maybe you got the most mentally available, the best version mentally of a Devin White than you could have had in the last couple of years. Again, a lot of praises for Devin White, but I go back to Ty's text. He's most as excited about Dante Thornton. And Levi Edwards, who we just had on of Raiders.com, said he's most excited to see Dante Thornton. He is a guy that was one of the first names that Pete Carroll brought up when went on. Who jumped out? Jack Besh, Dante Thornton, Devin White, Jamal Adams. Those were the names. Those were the names. Two vets on defense, two rookie receivers on offense. I recently had the privilege to sit down with Dante Thornton Jr. this past week during the Raiders training camp podcast that I host for Silver and Black up on Raiders.com and up on YouTube if you want to watch the whole thing at the end of this. But here's a portion of my interview with Dante Thornton Jr. Dante, welcome in. First time in the studio. How's it feel here?
It's nice, man. Great light in here. I love it.
Okay. Now, we were talking before. We got to clear some things up. It's Dante Thornton Jr.
Indeed.
How else could that have gone?
I don't know, man.
You've heard a bunch of different variations.
For sure. Most times it's Deonte, but that's my little brother's name.
Okay.
Yeah, but nah, my name is Dante.
Oh, so that's why it might picking the little brother. Okay, you're Dante Thornton Jr. You are a rookie wide receiver for the Raiders, and your first training camp in the National Football League. First things first, 2 days pads in. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. Like, of course, your body gonna get a little banged up from having the pads on, but I'm definitely maintaining well, getting a lot, like staying on top of all my treatment, prehab, rehab, and stuff like that. So I'm gonna be good.
So you felt it. Felt the grind. At what point did the body start being like, this is different?
Oh, when I woke up this morning, my back was stiff, my knee was hurting. I'm like, yeah, is that time for real.
So after the first day of pads, your name is a name that was brought up by head coach Pete Carroll in terms of shining on the first couple days of pads. I know as players, you always want to block out the noise, but when it's your head coach singing some praise, what is that like?
Well, I mean, it's a lot to me. Like, I talk to Coach Pete every single day, and I feel like he's a big reason for why I'm here. And for me, it's a big thing to make sure I give my all every single day, because I know that everybody in this building, including my head coach, really believe in me a lot. So, like, I know that I have to give my all every single day.
He gave a quick little story. I don't know if it was after day one of practice or day two with pads, that after practice he kind of went up to you and shook you to make sure, hey, are you good? And he looked in your eyes and he's like, yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
What has that interaction been like on a personal level with Pete?
Oh, it's been great. Like, he's been doing that since I got here from the start. And I think that's for him, and just making sure I'm, like, of course, with me being a rookie and stuff like that, just trying to check in on me and see if I'm adjusting well to it. But I love it. Like, having a coach that's constantly on you, and it's not even in a negative way, is always a great feeling to have.
So, obviously, your name has been one that continues to be talked about in the first couple days of padded practice here in training camp for the Raiders. And on social media, the big catch and run and touchdown from Geno, first play of 11-on-11, ones versus ones. How much did your phone blow up just from that? Was that a welcome to the NFL moment? Can you describe everything that went into that?
I definitely feel like it was a welcome to the NFL moment. And really, for me, it was a little crazy, because pre-snap, like, before we made the play, Geno asked me what my route was. I was like, I don't know if he think I'm confused or not. So, like, I went out there and ran it. And, like, next thing you know, I look up for the ball. I just look back, because I didn't know if the ball was going to come to me or not. But we always talk about it in a receiver, and the ball is coming to you until it isn't. So the moment I looked up, I seen that he threw it. I'm like, oh, man. That's why he kept asking me what the route was, because he was going to throw me the ball. So it definitely was a great feeling. Just knowing that Geno has the confidence for the first player to drive ones against ones in 11-on-11, for him to take a shot like that and throw it to me, is a great feeling to have.
And you are getting a lot of run with the ones right now. And confidence is a buzzword that gets thrown a lot during training camp. But for a first-year player like yourself, ingratiating yourselves with the offense, your new teammates, a new city, how big and where is your confidence level this early on in camp?
I said that my confidence is really high, and from an aspect of, like, where I'm at right now is not because of me or anything I've done. Like, of course I had to put in work to get here, but I'm right where God wanted me to be at. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really coming out on the field every single day and taking advantage of every opportunity I get, and just embracing the moments that I'm out there, and just the fact that I'm here. A long dream for me as a little kid, so just knowing that I'm living out that dream at the highest level is a great feeling. So I feel like there's no reason not to have a lot of confidence.
We talked about with your fellow rookie wide receiver Jack Besh about the transition from college to the pros and how different everything is. And you mentioned early on in camp that the speed was different. I couldn't help but chuckle inside, because everything we knew about you coming in was speed, 4.3 mm-hmm. speeds, 6.5, all this stuff. So what has that speed been like coming into an NFL training camp?
It's been tricky. Like, of course, like, with me coming to the school that I played at in college, we was a big tempo team. So that's part of it, isn't the crazy part for me, but more so just learning and just adjusting the defense and seeing how pre-snapping maybe one coverage, and then when we snap the ball, it's totally different. So being able to look at a coverage pre-snap, then post-snap, knowing that I got to check it again before I run my route, because it might change based on how they rotate as the safeties, or if the corner go be in cover two or cover three bailing out. So just knowing that, I have to constantly, like, keep my eyes up and look around, because things are constantly changed.
So let's get to the bottom of this. There's been a lot of talk. You already know where I'm going, don't you?
Yeah.
You already know where I'm going. There was so much talk about route trees. Mm-hmm. That became quite a buzzword when every time your name got brought up pre-draft and even post-draft with the Raiders about your route tree. Can you talk about your route tree right now?
I started to say, like, I've been running the full route tree since I was 12 years old, or even younger than that. So, like, to me, it's like a bunch of people are saying that, and I feel like it's more so from an aspect of them not truly watching my film from my whole college career. Like, my first 2 years at Oregon, I ran the full route tree, every single route that you could think of, crossing routes, posts, curls, everything like that. So I guess for my last 2 years being my most productive years in my college career, everyone felt like I wasn't running the full route tree depending on what my offense was. And I just want to say that I know for sure that I'm confident in my ability to run every route. But more importantly for me, just knowing that there's a bunch of people that constantly keep saying that, it's more motivation to me, like, to keep working on that, to show people, like, I know I can do this and that, and I can do it at a high level.
You know, we talk about the mental game all the time. How difficult is it to not get frustrated by all these people saying that type of thing and going out there and doing your thing?
I was saying, like, in the pre-draft process, it was a little hard for me, because I was already, like, on the side, like, where it was a point in my career where I was projected as an undrafted free agent. So, like, knowing that I got drafted in the fourth round shows that this coaching staff and everybody upstairs, they truly believe in my ability. So knowing that I had that confidence from that, just going in to like the pre-draft process, post-draft, and then once I got here, my main mindset was just to focus on running my routes, mm-hmm. to truly show people that I can do that. And now, and even after I got drafted, I really ain't worried about like, yeah, they're going to say what they're going to say, but regardless, people going to talk regardless. They're going to say whatever they want on social media because they have the freedom to do that. I'm not going to let that impact me.
Take us inside training camp. You know, obviously, we've seen fans get to watch little bits here and there at practice on the field. Take us inside these meeting rooms, inside these team rooms. What is the vibe like? Because we see it on the field. We see it start with Pete. We see the coaches going nuts. You guys are obviously having a good time being out on the field.
Yeah.
But the work was really behind the scenes, right? So mm-hmm. take us in what training camp is like behind the scenes.
I say, like, this a brief breakdown of the schedule. We come in, do your rehab stuff, post pre-practice treatment and all that stuff, get ready for practice. We go out and practice. I feel like that the practice part is the easiest part of the day, really, because we come back at the practice, a full day of practice out there for however long it is. Then you got to come in. We got meetings from 1 p.m., and we don't get finished with the day until, like, 6:30-ish. So it's a long day. Like, you got to be able to sit in those meetings and – yeah, we in there watching film, so you can easily engage with those. Like, yeah, you may be tired, but just knowing that if you feel like you had a good practice, you're going to be excited to go in there and watch film. Even if you had a bad practice, you're still going to be excited to go in there and see what you did wrong and how you can fix that and learn from it. So, like, even though it may be long days and very tiring, like, for me, I love it. Like, I get to be around a bunch of people that has the same goal as me, that's going out there on the field and giving the best they can so they can win. So, for me, it's like getting that competitive edge with learning more. You're really just being able to lock in with football and just constantly keep learning more and more. Like, every single day, I watch them at the practice, and I take small things from each and everybody that's in the receiver room, I mean, even different position groups. Like, I watch Jacoby every single day. And, like, two practices ago, he had did a release. And I told him, like, I'm going to start doing that. And the next day we came out, I did it the whole practice, and it worked. So, like, just knowing that I can watch other people and learn from the film that I'm watching shows me that, like, I can constantly keep learning every single day.
Yeah, you talk about those long days. Who are you leaning on those long days? Because, again, everybody here loves football, right? So there's an understanding there. Hey, we love football, but they are long days, right? Yeah. So who are you leaning on to keep you locked in, to keep you focused on the right things, learning how to be a pro early on in your career?
Oh, I say in terms of, like, learning how to be a pro, for sure, I lean on Trey Tucker and Jacoby a lot. But also, like, in the meeting room, and specifically for receiver meetings, we sit right next to each other. So we always give each other the energy, whether that's 7 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, like, having him next to me and knowing he's a guy that has a lot of energy, it makes me want to be upbeat and have a lot of energy also.
Everyone got their seats?
Yeah.
How quickly did you figure out your spot? Because that's always a part of it, right?
No, for sure. I sat in the first open seat I seen, really. And, like, from that moment on, that's just locked in seat. Like, even when we go to team meetings, everybody's sitting in the same exact seat every day.
So if you weren't comfortable, you better get comfortable.
Oh, for sure.
Talk to me a little bit about your rookie class as a whole. It feels like there's a lot of expectations, not just on you, not just on the Ash, but as the collective, right? There's a lot of hope and high aspirations. How have you guys come together as a rookie class, not just the drafted guys, but the undrafted guys as well?
I say to start, like, I love those guys. Like, every single day, like, even when we came in for rookie minicamp at OTAs, we were the only ones here. Like, we leaned on each other a lot because we all had the same goal of trying to do whatever we could to make the team or whatever it was. And, like I said in the beginning of just talking about this, like, I love those guys. Like, every single day, there's never a time where I can come in. If I'm feeling down, it's always somebody trying to pick me up. And the number one person I say is Caleb Rogers. There's never a time where I'm on the field and he don't, like, if even if he feel like I might be down, he first person, come on, we got to go.
Right.
Shake my hand. And he do that every single day. And, like, we have a group chat where we send, like, I feel like our room or just the rookie class in general, like, we're big men of faith.
Yeah.
So, like, we have a group chat with all the rookies and stuff like that, and we send, like, prayers and stuff in there every single day. So I feel like that is another thing that helps us grow closer to each other.
That's amazing. Before we let you go, I know there's preseason. You got to get through the rest of training camp. Have you let your mind wander to that first game inside Allegiant Stadium amongst Raider Nation? Again, you had a small taste of it at training camp with a big touchdown on day one of pads. Have you let your mind wander to get to Allegiant Stadium yet?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think about it all the time. Like, why? Who wouldn't? Like, it's my first year in the NFL, so of course I'm going to let my brain and mind wander on down the season or to when the game start. And, of course, I feel that's a big part of that is just trying to imagine yourself making those plays and stuff like that so that can come into fruition. So I definitely think about that a lot.
He is Dante Thornton Jr., Raiders rookie wide receiver. Dante, thank you for joining the Raiders podcast, training camp podcast presented by SiriusXM. Look forward to the rest of training camp, the preseason, and the regular season. Best of luck.
I appreciate you.
That was my one-on-one interview with Raiders rookie receiver Dante Thornton Jr. Again, you can get the full podcast up on Raiders.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is the Raiders training camp podcast, and those will be coming over the next few weeks as well with different players and different personalities with the Raiders. But obviously a lot there. I love how one of the guys that he leans on is not just a veteran, but it's a guy, a fellow rookie, and not even a guy at his position, but a guy like Caleb Rogers. When he sits there and he says, this guy's always picking me up. Doesn't matter the day, doesn't matter what's going on. He's the one bringing the energy, hey, helping me make sure I'm on my P's and Q's. And you need that. You need that as a young player. And even if it is another young player doing it, having that camaraderie, having that cohesion, I think is a big thing. Because as I mentioned in the piece, you know, the 2025 rookie class is being looked at, and they're being put on, I don't want to say they're being put on a pedestal, but they're being looked at as a group in totality that's going to produce for this team, not only in the immediate this coming season, but moving forward in the future as well. So looking forward to that. And you know what? I said I was looking forward to Jordan Meredith in next week in Seattle. I changed my mind after hearing that interview again. Dante Thornton Jr. I'm with Levi. I want to see what it looks like against a different jersey. 702-365-9200. Who are you most looking forward to in Seattle next week, preseason opener? It's the JT the Brick Show. This flagship for the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio 920.
Yeah, this is a good group for us now. We have totally changed this position group, you know, from what you've seen in the past. And these guys all bring background and experience and toughness and a hard-nosed attitude, physicality to them. It's pretty exciting. And to see the effect they're having on the younger guys and kind of shifting their intensity and how they're playing and coming downhill. Johnny Glenn's got some decisions coming up here. It's going to be a really competitive group throughout, and we can play six guys right now. They can all play, and they can get in there. So that's a good problem. It's a tough problem to deal with, but we'll figure it out. You know, we haven't talked maybe a lot about Pratt and Jermaine, but he brings a real toughness, and he has had a really diverse background and playing different spots and all. Very comfortable moving them around, and we're seeing that also out of Devin. You know, Devin has a great playmate today now, but he had probably two or three of the best plays on practice yesterday as well. He's back. You know, he was on top of the world a few years ago, and then things kind of just didn't work out one reason or another, and he's back in action now, and he came up to me and said, I'm all in now, and he was dead serious in how he said it, you know, and you can see it, and so with E-Rob kind of leading the charge, it's a really fun group.
Raiders head coach Pete Carroll talking about that linebacker core, saying there's six guys that could play. Who are those six guys? Devin White, obviously one. Been singing the praises of him for the first few days of padded practice, making some big plays, especially during that indoor session for the Raiders. Obviously, Landon Roberts, the ultimate communicator, wearing the green dot. Jermaine Pratt's name was mentioned. Is Jamal Adams being considered a linebacker? He's a guy that's been gotten a lot of praise as well, but he's listed as a safety. Can't make heads or tails of it. The guy's a linebacker. All right, Raider Nation, get used to that name. He's going to be going after the quarterback quite a bit. Setting the edge, run stuffing, big hits, physicality, violence, another name that was praised early on in the padded practices. What other linebackers could it be? Could it be Eichenberg? Could it be Lindenberg? That is quite a group. I just love the fact that, and I've heard it a couple times now, and we've played it a couple times here on Raider Nation Radio, John Glenn's got a lot of work to do. Linebacker coach, he's got a lot of work to do. That's Pete Carroll's words. I just love, I can't help but laugh when he goes, yeah, it's on him. He's got to figure that one out, who he wants to make the hay there. So, great show today. Really want to thank our guest, Kevin Bollinger, Fox 5, Levi Edwards, Raiders.com, and you, Raider Nation, 702-365-9200. answering the question of the day, who are you most excited to see when they kick off the preseason? A week from tonight in Seattle. Varied names, a lot of different names. Besh, Thornton, Devin White, Jordan Meredith. When there's a bevy of names, that means there's a lot of optimism within the room, within the roster. Out on the field, the competition is at an all-time high. And a man who also preaches competition, not just Pete Carroll, but your boy Q. He is on deck for Unnecessary Roughness. Another 3 hours of some fantastic Raider Nation radio talk. We are the flagship for the silver and black. Appreciate JT for letting me fill the boots, as they say. He is en route to Canton. He's going to have a great show at this time tomorrow, celebrating the career of Eric Allen and the soon-to-be enshrinement this weekend. I am back in your ears tomorrow on the morning tailgate. Talk to you then.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you. All right.